This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, of course, and you need to get your questions, all of them. All 3 hours are going to be your questions. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Why do they lie? I'm talking about the system. The elites who run the system, politicians and others, why do they lie so brazenly? It's way more than Joe Biden.
You make me miss being a professor at Penn. And when I left the vice president.
You make me miss being a professor at Penn. He never taught a class at Penn. Brazen. But it's way, way beyond Joe Biden. Way beyond Joe Biden. Hear Fauci out there now?
When you shut down schools, if you do, and I have been very vocal about this, and I think the people who like to point fingers, I say, go and look at the tape, you know, the tale of the tape, when I kept on saying over and over again, we've got to get the children back to school as quickly as possible. We've got to get them in school safely, and we've got to make sure that they are not essentially out of school, at home, getting all of the negative consequences. Different parts of the country.
You're screaming right now. What? That liar. My kid was home for a year. Okay. They lie. Oh, you thought that one made you mad? Here's one for you. Andrew Cuomo murdered 15,000 of his own citizens in New York. New York was the most restrictive in the nation for COVID. Listen to this one.
Government had no capacity to enforce any of this. You must wear a mask. And people wore masks in New York. But if they said, I'm not wearing a mask, there was nothing I could do about it. You must close your private business. I won't. Well, there was nothing I could really do about it. It was really all voluntary. And it was extraordinary when you think about it that.
Remember all that volunteering you did? It was all voluntary, of course. No, you were never forced into it. You were never compelled. It was all voluntary. Well, what about this doozy now? Do you remember? Some people forget. You remember when we went into a recession? It was short. It was only a couple months, but we went into a recession. And there was a dictionary definition of what a recession is. What is that definition? Two straight quarters. Remember, the year is divided up into four quarters. Two straight quarters of the economy shrinking. Two straight quarters of shrinkage. By dictionary definition, that is a recession. And then we had two straight quarters of economic shrinkage, and they all did
this.
Two
quarters of negative growth in a row, that's a recession.
Right, and certainly in terms of the technical definition, it's not a recession. The technical definition considers a much broader spectrum of data points.
A recession is a broad-based contraction that affects many sectors of the economy. We just don't have that.
We're not going to be in a recession, in my view.
Okay. But why? Why the brazen, blatant lies? After all, nobody would believe that, right? Nobody's going to believe that out of Fauci, Mr. Anti-Lockdown. Nobody's going to believe that. Nobody's going to believe that out of Andrew Cuomo. He didn't force anyone to do anything. No one's going to believe that, right? Well, I've got a number here, some numbers actually, and they're going to be maybe a little disheartening, but they're very revealing, and I think it's important for you and me to understand this. And I did not do this research. This research was done by the Skeptic Research Center. So I want to make sure they get credit for it. This is not my research. What did they do? Well, I'm not changing the subject. They went out and did a bunch of research on what Americans believe about race and policing. And they wanted to know, by political persuasion, what do Americans believe by race or about race and policing? And before we get to this, I just want to remind you of my sky is green theory. This is, look, old listeners are going to roll their eyes. They've heard it 1,000 times. For you new listeners, I have explained before my sky is green theory. It's a really stupid, ham-fisted analogy. Nevertheless, it's completely true. I am here to tell you that at least half this nation, if the system decided they wanted them to believe the sky is green, at least half this nation would, in the end, believe the sky is green. And not only believe it is green, they would tell all their friends about how green the sky is. And maybe right now you're looking up at a blue sky and you're saying, Jesse, that's insane. I have eyes. Everyone has eyes. I can see it's blue. It's right in front of my face. Well, I would argue if that's what you believe, you don't understand how many of your fellow Americans exist entirely in a world that is not real. Entirely in a world of make-believe. A world the system has created for them. There have been a million ham-fisted comparisons in our planet to The Matrix. Now, maybe you don't know what The Matrix is. Maybe you've never seen the movie. It's a great movie, by the way. But in The Matrix, they take a human being as a baby, and they just essentially put him in this pod and plug him in. He's knocked out. He's unconscious. They plug him in. And they put all these thoughts and experiences in his brain so he thinks he's living life. He thinks he's driving down the sidewalk or kissing a girl or eating a meal. But really, he's not doing any of that. But he's 1,000% convinced that he is because his mind has made it real. Well, in the sky is green theory, the president would tell you how green it is. Hollywood would make movies with green skies. Your favorite sports star would have an Instagram video up talking about, I can't believe I just signed with Nike. Anyway, look at the green sky and Nike. More touchdowns for me. Your kids would have to do projects in school about the green sky. And not only that, they would bring in the experts. Oh, they would bring in the experts. Harvard scientist after Yale scientist after Stanford scientist after scientist. People, of course, a lot smarter than you, of course. They know so much more than you do. They're telling you the sky is green. And at the end of this propaganda campaign, a staggering number of Americans would believe the sky is green, even though their own eyes tell them it's blue. Back in 2021, 11 unarmed black men were killed by police in the United States of America, a country of well north of 300 million people. For an entire year, 11 unarmed black men were killed by police. That is a staggeringly low number. That's amazing. That's incredible. That's incredible police work. That's a shocking amount of restraint for a very, very dangerous job, right? It's a job where you're dealing with criminals all the time. 11 for the entire country. Do you want to know what percentage of liberals believe the number is more than 1,000? Half. Your liberal Aunt Peggy believes more than 1,000 black men were murdered in 2021 and the real number is 11. Here, I'll go through the numbers, although it gets kind of boring, but let me just do this. 41% of very liberal people believe it's about 100, 28%, or no, about 1,000, 28%, 10,000, that they believe 1,000 to 10,000 black men. If you're a liberal, if you fall on the left, that's what you believe. 49.6% believe about 1,000 when the number's 11. That's half. The others aren't better, I should know. The others believe it's, some believe it's 10,000. 21% of them believe it's 10,000 murdered, mass slaughter of black men by police, unarmed. And the real number is 11. But it's actually much worse than that. Because maybe right now you're sitting there and you're shrugging your shoulders because you listen to the show and you understand anti-communism and you understand communism and you're shrugging your shoulders right now and you're saying, yeah, Jesse, okay. So some very liberal people or liberal people believe things that aren't real. That's not that damaging to the country because that's what, 30% of the population, 35% of the population? Well, that's where the sky is green theory actually gets just a little bit deeper, and we will talk about that in just a moment, because it bleeds beyond them. You see, propaganda doesn't have to be 100% effective to be effective. Meaning, if I'm the system and I hate America, and I want to burn it down, and I want to convince everybody that America is some evil, racist, sexist country, all the things these people believe. I don't necessarily have to get you to buy into that all the way so that you're going to arm yourself and start marching with Antifa and burning down buildings. I don't necessarily have to get you to go all in, but what if I just got you to kind of believe it? Or in the very least, you're not hostile to the fact that I believe it. You're just kind of placated, just sitting there on the sidelines. That's a win for me too. Wait till you hear these numbers. Next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Gonna talk a little bit of banking in about like 10 minutes from now. And don't worry, it's not gonna be boring. The future of it, you've heard about Mike Lindell and Dinesh D'Souza and things that they've done to the January 6th protesters. Gotta talk about American banking. So just give me just a couple minutes and we'll get to that. I wanna finish this up, my sky is green theory. When we talk about that, and we talk about how these people live in a world that is not real, we can all come to agreement on that. Okay, these people are crazy. They watch the news too much. They live in a world that is not real. And we'll come back to them in a moment. But the problem isn't just them. The problem is the evil system that pushes these lies over and over and over again. They break off enough normie norms that when you take the very liberal numbers and combine them with the normie norm numbers, you end up with a too high percentage of Americans who believe something that is not real. Okay, so you have all these, half these liberals believe 1,000 black men are slaughtered by police every single year. Oh, Jesse, these people are crazy. That's nuts. Yeah, 20% of moderates believe the same thing. 20%. Oh, you thought that was bad? 15% of people identifying as conservative believe the same thing. 1,000 unarmed black men slaughtered a year by cops. 10% of very conservative, that's how they identify. That's you. That's me. That's our people. 10% of them believe 1,000. So what's the lesson in that? That we're all a bunch of dullards? No. The lesson is that the lies work. Propaganda works. Propaganda has been going on since mankind began. There's a reason it hasn't gone out of style. It is incredibly effective. And I think it's important for us to always digest that and realize what percentage of our countrymen are susceptible to the lies, and realizing that we ourselves are oftentimes susceptible to the lies. We are. I have to be proactive. You have to be proactive. Otherwise, in a system this evil, a system this dishonest, what chance do we have? All right. Get to a couple emails here. I'm going to do this real quick first. Representative Tim Burchett was asked why he voted to bounce McCarthy.
He never mentioned anything when we were communicating like that.
So you said part of the reason you voted like that is because you felt he was mocking you, correct? So it's personal.
And that's not accurate, and that's any of that. I asked him about the 6 weeks off. I asked him about why we didn't have a term limits bill up and continued on down the line, and it was always not his fault. You know, leadership has responsibilities. The buck stops somewhere, and in the House of Representatives, it starts at the Speaker's office. And clearly that's not happening. And clearly, you know, you want to continue to make excuses for him. But the truth is his approval rating around the country was not very high. And well, I don't represent the people of Congress. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're going to have a new speaker that's a lot better. Jim Jordan, this thing's ramping up. Dude, I realize Jim Jordan, because he's in leadership, he's never going to be 100% what you want him to be or I want him to be. But for Congress, probably as good as we can hope for. And a heck of a lot better than Kevin McCarthy.
Why should we be sending American tax dollars to Ukraine when we don't even know what the goal is? No one can tell me what the objective is. Is it some kind of negotiated peace? Is it driving them out of the eastern Ukraine? Is it driving them out of Crimea, which they've had for 10 years now, but they took during the Obama administration? What is the objective? And so until you can tell me the goal, I don't think we should continue to send money there, particularly when we have the problems we have on our border. So that's fundamental. I just think that's front and center. And then second, how is the money that's already been sent, how has it been spent?
Right.
What kind of waste is going? Those are two fundamental questions that I think the American taxpayers want to know the answers to before they send any more of their hard-earned money there.
Not too bad. That's certainly taken a different tactic than the old GOP leadership. So there. How about that? All right, let's get to some emails. We have to clear this out because tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your emails in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, cheeseburger dude, just wanted to say you inspired me way back when you shared accidentally on purpose not letting people onto your elevator. Yes, that's a technique that I have preferred. I don't want to ride on the elevator with people because I'm worried that they're going to talk to me. So if you see someone coming up to an elevator, unless it's a little old lady or something like that, you reach out to the button and act like you're hitting the door open button to keep it open for them, but really you hit the door close button. And then when the door is closed and you go, oh no, and you kind of raise your hands up and act like, oh dang it, I wanted to let you on, there's some kind of malfunction, dang. Anyway, catch the next one. This guy pulled off a good one. He said, I was at Costco and decided to go grab a cheap hot dog while the wife was doing the shopping thing. I managed to snag the last of the white tables and proceeded to sit at the table alone. From about 30 feet away, I noticed an older couple pointing in my direction, and I instantly realized they were going to ask to join me. I looked over about 90 degrees from where they were and started waving over to a crowd of people to make it seem like I was expecting someone. It worked. They instantly rerouted and victimized someone else. If that had failed, I was prepared to smear ketchup on the table. I love your show. And he said, I can use his name. His name is Ryan. Ryan, I'm friggin' proud of you. All right. I'm proud of you. This is what? That's a brilliant move. When you're sitting down, you finally break away from shopping and you're enjoying, you're just stuffing a wiener in your mouth. You don't want to have to talk to anybody else. You just want to sit there and do your thing. That said, I've always thought Costco's hot dogs were overrated. I know I'm going to catch crap for that. They're too big. I don't like the fat wieners. It's way too big. Way too much. All right. Banking. Let's talk about it. Next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And you know, there are three industries that terrify me right now as far as what the future of this country looks like. Law, because we can't escape it. All these dirty commies in law school right now, they're going to be your judge in the future. Medicine. I don't even have to go into all the stuff that they're learning in medical school today. And finance. Banking, because around the world, people on the right who share your views and my views, they are being attacked by their own banks, by the finance sector sometimes. So we need something different, right? What are we supposed to do? Put our money in a mayonnaise jar? That brings me to Eric Olhausen. That actually brings me to Old Glory Bank. He's the chief strategy officer for Old Glory Bank. He's also co-founder of it. Eric, why bother starting a bank?
Well, because we identified a need, and you just touched on one of the aspects of it. There's unfortunately a growing trend and many examples of debanking, which refers to the cancel culture entering the financial system. And we started Old Glory Bank. It's actually a 120-year-old bank that was renamed and repositioned with two guiding principles, and these relate to what you just touched on. The first is that at Old Glory Bank, we are absolutely committed to promoting the greatness of America. I mean, we love our flag, we support our military, have respect for our first responders, and that of all hardworking people who make our country great. But we also, and secondarily, the second principle is that we are unwavering supporters of financial liberty, and we commit that no lawful customer of Old Glory Bank will have their account canceled just regardless of their speech or the industry they operate in.
Love that. Eric, why is this bank necessary? And it is necessary. it frustrates me that it is. Why do I have to worry about politics in the finance world? I mean, it's not uncommon for politics to be in the border or abortion or taxes or spending or that's the common thing. But money is just, or at least should be, just black and white and quite simple, shouldn't it? It's just yields and interest rates and rate of returns and things like that. Why did it get so political? How did that happen?
Well, certainly the politicization of business, I mean, is happening all over the place. I mean, you can look at, you know, Disney, you can look at Anheuser-Busch, and, you know, in the realm that my team and I operate in the financial sector, there, unfortunately, you can trip over instances of individuals, businesses, and even entire industries being excluded from participation in our financial system. And I mean, it's sad to see, but, you know, prominent cases have been people like the documentarian Dinesh D'Souza. He had his credit card canceled by Chase Bank. Mike Lindell of MyPillow had 9 accounts he reported that were closed by the Minnesota Bank and Trust. Donald Trump Jr. had several of his media business accounts closed by PNC Bank. The Trump campaign had their own site, the processing of donations, turned off by Stripe. So it's sadly, that list goes on, and it's you would think big banks and the organizations would feel that they can't get away with it, but sadly they seem to be. I mean, it got so bad with Chase that in May earlier this year, 19 state attorneys general warned Chase about their religious discrimination and the way it was disenfranchising its customers, whether it was the National Committee for Religious Freedom was one where they closed the account and Chase said they wouldn't open it up unless they disclosed who their donors were. I mean, such an invasion of privacy there. And it sadly is happening a lot. And I think, you know, our view is that, you know, there's an opportunity to become a haven for people to come to. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people you talk to and they might say, well, you know, I hear that's happening. I see it's happening, but, you know, I'm just an average Joe or Jane going about my business. I'm not going to be doing anything that would even be noticed enough to be canceled, you know, for me to be canceled. And, you know, to that, I say a couple things. First of all, I believe that if one of us is canceled, we all should feel canceled. I mean, it's just like censorship and freedom of speech. You know, principled people should push back when liberties are taken away from others. And, you know, I always think of that metaphor of the frog sitting in the boiling pot of water who didn't notice the increasing heat. And I think in the case of this financial canceling that's occurring in the financial sector, you know, there certainly are opportunities to push back on that. And, you know, Old Glory Bank is a great place to move to protect yourself, as well as to defiantly say this has to stop and I'm not going to sit on the sidelines anymore.
Do you see this kind of thing, this parallel economy? Do you see it picking up steam? Because from where I sit, I do. I see Old Glory Bank. Okay, so now we got a bank. I see other things like Rumble Online as an alternate to YouTube. I see an entire alternate economy forming, and I think it's a good thing. Do you see it?
I would say it's an unfortunate need in the marketplace and in society. Yeah. So, I mean, clearly, and I, you know, can just guess that most, you know, well-intentioned folks would say it's a shame it's come to this, but, there absolutely is a market need. And, you know, when you say again, well, do I really need to, is this really going to affect me? You know, the fact that entire industries are getting canceled, and I mean, some of the clearest examples are in the firearms and fossil fuels industries. But you could even, you know, it's no stretch to think that the cattle industry and mainstream farming could be next for ecological reasons. And, you know, if you're no longer able to buy ammunition because B of A and Wells Fargo and PayPal have stopped processing transactions for gun retailers, or, you know, B of A you watched on after January 6th without even being legally required to do so, shared transaction data of its customers who either, you know, happened to have bought a cup of coffee in D.C. that week or had legally purchased a firearm recently, you know, or do you really want to bank with that kind of an organization? And, you know, it's happening in other industries. The, you know, very publicly, Citi and B of A have pledged to dramatically reduce their financing of the fossil fuel industry. And, you know, if you're a rig operator in Texas or Oklahoma or Kansas, or someone in your household is, you know, do you really want to bank with an organization that's going to starve, you know, that very industry that, that provides your livelihood? So I think, unfortunately, it's here to stay, and we certainly welcome all aspects of the economy to address this need in a way that we are doing, because, as you said, it's not just the financial sector, but that's certainly a critical one, because, you know, how do you operate in life if you can't participate in just, you know, day-to-day transactions?
Yeah, it's one of the most critical ones. I want to encourage everybody, go start an account. Get the heck out of your crappy bank. Go start an account. Old Glory Bank. Eric, thank you so much for giving us some time today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
That stuff's scary, man. What they're doing to Mike Lindell, scary. What they did to Dinesh is scary. And to know that they're not stopping, right? That stuff is picking up. It's not slowing down. And those are the three industries that really worry me. Like I said at the very beginning of it, legal is, I mean, it's obvious. Look at what they're doing right now to Trump and the January 6th protesters before him. And look at that. Medicine's obviously, yeah, look, medicine speaks for itself. But finance, man, finance, that's how we exist, right? That's how we do our day-to-day life. We have to exchange value for goods and services. If they seize total control of that industry and then use that power as they do, whew, that's ugly. All right. 877-377-4373. If you'd like to give me a ring, that's fine tonight. 877-377-4373. And don't forget, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email me and should right now your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Email jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Why did I almost screw up my own email address, Chris? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. While you're doing that, why don't you swing on over to roughgreens.com/jesse and get a free jumpstart trial bag of some Rough Greens. Why not get a free bag? It's a free jumpstart trial bag. When I tell you every day about Rough Greens and that dog food is dead food and that you need to add a natural nutritional supplement to your dog's food so your dog can live longer, I understand the hesitation. What if my dog doesn't like it? Dogs freaking love it. They prefer it. My dog won't eat dog. Of course, my dog won't eat his dog food now unless Rough Greens is poured on the dog food. So there you go. He doesn't get ear infections anymore, my dog. He doesn't have digestive problems anymore, my dog. Your dog lethargic, maybe hyperactive, dull coat, bad breath. Rough Greens. Give your dog nutrition and watch the change. Call him. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go, like I said, roughgreens.com/Jesse. Let's make sure we keep our puppies around as long as possible, all right? We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. Don't worry, we still have more than an hour left here on a Thursday. Remember, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And we have a little bit of breaking news.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
Dick Butkus just died. He is a legendary NFL football player. The reason I'm giving you this explanation, which you already know, is Chris didn't know. Chris said, hey, some guy named Dick Butkus died. Chris didn't know who Dick Butkus was. Dick Butkus was a middle linebacker for the Bears. It's long before my time or your time, Chris. This is the 60s, like 65 and 70s. 60s and 70s. The dude was just mean and nasty. And he would spit on people and stuff like that. He was awesome. Dick Butkus was awesome. Anyway, he just passed away at 80 years old. So rest in peace to Dick Butkus. All right. Before I get to the calls, which I will get to here in a second, and we're going to get to this nutball of a commerce secretary. Well, you want to talk about these people being religious zealots. Let's do this. Mayorkas has had probably a long day. You ever have a day where you screwed up and you know it's going to be a long day? Well, Mayorkas came out, like we talked about earlier, and he said, hey, a border wall's necessary. The Biden administration has since then been scrambling, and, well, it's been going like this.
In a statement that was posted within the last 24 hours, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary says there is presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers and roads in the vicinity of the border of the United States in order to prevent unlawful entries into the United States. So who's right? The statement from the DHS secretary overnight or the president's comments today saying they don't work?
So a couple of things. Yes, it showed up on the register today, but the announcement, this is not new. This is from 6 months ago.
Well, it is new because the waiving of the laws actually didn't happen.
But it was, this is something.
Yeah. So the Biden administration has been scrambling today. Mayorkas, this is 20 minutes ago. Mayorkas, somebody got a call, put out a statement, and went like this.
I want to address today's reporting relating to a border wall and be absolutely clear. There is no new administration policy with respect to the border wall. Allow me to repeat that. There is no new administration policy with respect to the border wall. From day one, this administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. That remains our position, and our position has never wavered. The language in the Federal Register notice is being taken out of context, and it does not signify any change in policy whatsoever.
Ooh, that must have been a nasty phone call, huh? Must have been a vicious little phone call. Oh, I can't wait to get to this nutball commerce secretary. And 86% of Americans are dirty liars because 86% of Americans say they want government cuts. They want spending cuts. No, they don't. All right, let's do a couple calls first. Mike, Ohio, go, boss.
Yes, it is. I just wanted to tell you, Jesse, I've been listening to you for a long time, and I thought, I'll never get through to that guy. My wife and I just pulled out of a restaurant here in Ontario, Ohio, and it said, call this number. I called it, and Aaron answered, and I just want to tell you, man, I absolutely love you. You make me laugh all the time, and I think you're wonderful. With that said, I think we should take all of the money that's been put into Ukraine or that wants to go to Ukraine and put that in our inner cities, man. All these people in these inner cities need this money. You got single-parent families that just, you know, they need help more than anybody. So instead of shipping that money overseas, right here in America, all these cities, and I think any politician that had a lick of common sense that said he would do that and then followed through with it would be the greatest president that this country's ever had.
Here's the problem with that. Because conceptually, I completely agree with you. Totally agree with you. I don't want my money going to anyone, anywhere outside of this country when my fellow Americans are still hurting. Now, the money should go to the inner cities. That is one of those things that sounds so nice. It sounds so awesome. But it doesn't work that way. And let me explain why. Because I'm white trash, I have known and know people who are in poverty, various levels of poverty. I've known this. And there's a reason people who win the Powerball almost always end up broke again. There's a reason. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to be rich or whatever the case may be, but if you find yourself in poverty for an extended period of time, there's a chance it's not your fault at all. There really is. Life's hard. Life comes at you fast. There's a chance it's not your fault at all, but not a good one. There's not a very good chance. Inner city, some horrible inner city ghetto. You could write them the largest check in the history of the world. But if the culture doesn't change, if the people in it don't change, then new paved roads and new fancy community centers and a brand new school and new uniforms for the football team, none of those things mean anything unless the culture inside of there changes. People get out of those places. The second they achieve any level of success that financially allows them to get out of the ghetto, they get out of the ghetto immediately. I'm not saying, oh, it's hopeless. Forget about him kicking. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. But I am challenging the idea that just a check of any kind, whether it's Ukraine money, I don't care what money it is, that a check of any kind can save a culture that is rotted. Inner city culture, inner city urban culture is rotted in this country. It is full of drugs and violence, death, single parent homes. The biggest check in the world can't fix that. It just can't. There may be solutions, but money ain't it. All right, we have a whole hour left. You have to go grab a Mantis X real quick. A Mantis X. The way you're going to learn how to be fast and deadly is with a Mantis X. It's like having a firearms instructor inside of your home with you. That's what it's like. It's like having the money to have a personal instructor. What would it be like to have that kind of money? Every night you go home, there's a personal, professional firearms instructor standing there in your home, putting you through drills and giving you feedback. No, no, do this. Don't do that. That's what Mantis X is. You attach it to your weapon. You practice in the comfort of your home. You get really good in the comfort of your home because it's teaching you while it's putting you through drills. These things are unbelievable. The Green Berets use it. The Marines use it. Mantis X is what you need. Get fast and deadly. Go to MantisX.com, all right? MantisX.com. We carry. Let's be ready. MantisX.com. A whole hour left. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.